Hi guys, welcome back to the show. Today we've got Jack Pittman on, and well, he's had a very interesting life, to say the least. So do you want to just give some context to the viewers of
Yeah,
your journey through life?
Absolutely. So my thing is like earning money online, but I don't earn a lot of money, but I've learned how to reduce expenses and live a really fulfilling life where I have all the time of day to do whatever I want. I don't have a huge mansion or anything, but I have everything I need. I don't need to do anything every day. I can focus on making my future better every single day. I have my most valuable resource, my time. And that was really hard. I had to change so many things about my life to be in a position where I had time. And it's so hard when you come into the world to, as like a person who's raised in the world, you're told that if you do things a certain way, you'll get a certain result. And that's just not how the world works anymore. And maybe it used to, but it isn't now. Now you have to be very creative, and you have to figure out how you can be constantly, every day, developing skills that put your future self in a better position. So a lot of my life has been about just being in a lot of different situations and positions in a lot of different countries. And I've had the luxury of being able to be in these situations. And that has allowed me to see that we are really surrounded by a lot of opportunity. And anybody who can see a video, anybody who can learn online, if you can type or you can speak on a phone, you can earn money online. That's the reality. It's not a question of, oh, I don't believe you. Like, oh, okay, how? No, no, no. There are not just one way. There are hundreds of thousands of ways. There's more ways to use the internet and earn money than there are in the real world. Because in the internet, you can take real world things that are losing money and use the internet to make them profitable. It's absolutely absurd what you can do with the internet. And most people to this day greatly underestimate it. And they work hard, working all day, getting less money. When especially if you live in a cheaper country, like a place like Nicaragua, you could just work an hour or two a day and work online and use your time effectively and have a good life. So why not do that, right? That's what I've done. But I was pushed here, basically. I didn't ever have the balls to like pick up everything and go to a country that's a foreign country. I like visited for something else and then saw things, and those events changed my life. And then I ended up moving.
So what did you see that ended that? What did you see that made that decision clear for you to move to a completely different country, live the lifestyle that you live now?
It's relevant to understand that I'm always a foreigner. There's no country I'm from, because I was raised in multiple different countries. I was born in Sri Lanka to a British and a US citizen. So I in my nature, I'm always a foreigner no matter where I am. So it's not really that weird for me to be in a place and for me to be like buying something and I don't understand everything around me perfectly. I feel comfortable. I know that's weird, it doesn't make sense, but that's what my childhood was. I feel comfortable when I can't hear everything perfectly. When I'm in the US or in an English speaking place, I feel like I'm invading people's minds. Like I can understand them all too well and I know too much about them. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so weird. I don't like that feeling. But I just say that because I understand that a lot of people aren't in the position where they can pick their lives up and completely change their country if you're living in the US, especially people with family. But it really is important to ask yourself the question, do you need to be living where you are, and can you move to reduce your expenses? Because in life, it's often easier and more effective to reduce your expenses than it is to push yourself to earn more money. Especially if you're living in the US, there's probably a lot of expenses you can reduce. Believe it or not, here in Nicaragua, you can raise a family off of $1,000 a month. Like, it's next level how far money goes in most places in the world. The US isn't the majority of what people are, what people's experiences. Most people experience what it's like in Nicaragua, where money, if you can get your hands on it, it goes really far. But it's hard to get for them to get their hands on it. And most people in countries like where I live, they believe they can't. They believe they have this, they feel that the US and other places have this like superiority. And you can't really blame them for feeling these kind of insecurities, just given the way the world's history is, you know, and it's hard. because the reality is, just like everyone else, that sold in our heads, we're surrounded by opportunity. Life doesn't hold opportunity from us. We hold ourselves from opportunity. And it's all about learning how to stop doing that, because you come into the world doing that and you have to learn how to see it and stop it. And that's very hard.
Now, you just said something there that I'm going to pick apart just a little bit. You said we come into the world not seeing opportunity. But I believe that we come into the world seeing opportunity.
We're taught not to. Yeah. I'm by when I say come into the world, I'm talking about the first like 18, 20 years of your life, that whole experience that's done. After that, you come into the world, you've got all these judgments, preconceptions, biases, right, all that shit. That's what I'm talking about. I totally agree that the innocence of your inner child is like, that's the thing that makes you happy. That's the thing you need to figure out. How can you be earning money doing something related to it? And then you have a great life, basically. That's true. It totally works. So I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went through a period of ill health not that long ago. What was that like? And
very complicated. What was it? I was struggling with fatigue. Given there's a lot of circumstances that put me in fatigue positions. One, I smoke a lot of marijuana. Two, my dad died when I was 11. Three, there was like cancer and disease. My mom got sick. We had a bad home environment for a while. Me and her were fighting a lot. It was tons of stress. I was in a relationship that was like super, super toxic. I was doing way too much for another person. And in some ways, I'm glad about this part of my life because it made this part of me very strong. And I was just getting cut down over and over and over again. And I just kept trying again and again. And I got really strong. And then eventually that force, I moved away from that person who was hurting me in that way. And I was just able to do things so much better than I ever was. And so while it was hard and it was such an intense situation, I definitely wouldn't take that back. I learned so many things about life through those experiences. And the best thing you can do in your life is figure out how you can get the most experiences you have access to. You need to be able to figure out how can you expose yourself to as many different people, as many different situations as possible, because it gives you this clearer sense of how the world works, and it gives a clearer path to being happy and living a better life and drawing the people you want towards you instead of feeling alone, right?
Right. So obviously then things happened that caused you to have a spell of unhealth. What are some of the things that you did to get yourself back out of that?
Well, the biggest thing was how to deal with the psychosomatic part of disease. Anytime, as humans, we create more of the things we're doing, whether it's bad habit, good habit, it doesn't matter. If you're doing it, you're creating more of it. Something's hard to you if you haven't done it before. It's easy to you if you did it yesterday and the day before. So as a person who gets sick, whether the sickness or disease is devastating in a huge part or it's mostly in your head, you develop a part of you that kind of gives up. It says, I can't do the things that other people do because I'm sick now. I can't be like them. I am not that. And this is so damaging that even in situations where a person who was sick due to some kind of disease or bacterial or viral illness or whatever, if they're in that state long enough, you can actually cure them of the viral or bacterial infection and the fatigue doesn't go away because it's so ingrained in their lifestyle that they're unable to get out of it. Because ultimately with fatigue, it's a reflection of your lifestyle. If you aren't moving, you aren't getting exercise, not eating. In my case, I don't eat. That's really the thing. I have appetite issues and I don't eat enough food. So I get fatigue, and that's the main reason for it. And I understand that now, but it took a long time to really see all the reasons that my behaviors were different than other people. And that's why I was different. It wasn't because there was something wrong with me. It's because I was doing things fundamentally in the way I was living life differently. And I understand those things better now. But it can be very hard to navigate that that part of your mind when you think you're sick and when you identify with being sick. And you have to be able to do something in your life that allows you to put that behind you. You have to be able to be like, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then I must accept that I have done everything I possibly can. And the way I looked at it when I was struggling, because I was struggling with Lyme disease, right? And I could sleep for like easily like 9 or 10 hours. And then if I didn't watch it, I would fall right back asleep. And every time I fell asleep, it was 2 hours, 3 hours, just really easily. I could just evaporate a day, no problem. And for me, it was alarming because I lost my dad when I was pretty young, and I did feel remarkably depressed at other periods in my life. But at this point in my life, when I felt awake, I actually felt quite happy, and I liked being alive. And there was a lot of things I wanted to work on. And that was one of the things that was so frustrating for me, was like, well, this is different than before. Before I just felt empty, but now I feel like I know what I want. I just feel like a cripple. Like, for me, I tried to go through doctors to get help, and I was never able to get that feeling where I was like, okay, I did enough. I can focus on my life and focus on my habits and the things that can reduce my fatigue, until I ended up taking like veterinary antibiotics, actually. And that was like a huge thing, because I was using, like, in the US, you can't buy for human consumption, you can't buy like antibiotics for human consumption, but you can basically get any antibiotic chemical you want, because they're all generic and they've all been created like 30 or 40 years ago. as long as it's for veterinary use. So I basically did that. And then I was like, okay, I found like a treatment that was online from something, you know, and this is highly controversial, obviously, but that kind of, I want to show just how desperate I was and how lost I felt. That was what I resorted to. And ultimately, I was able to change a lot about my life and live the life where I want, where now, even if I were to get more sick and have to sleep that much, it doesn't matter, because I've built that flexibility into my life. I don't work for any one thing. I spend my day doing multiple different things, building things for my future, and trying to figure out how I can be better to myself and the people that I love. And I'm very happy to be in this position where I have the luxury to pursue the things that I'm interested in. When I want to garden something, I can do it. I can afford to splurge on my interests a little bit and buy whatever food I want to eat. And like, I wasn't in that position for most of my life. And it's nice to be able to actually have to not worry about if I'm going to be able to pay rent. And I used to live in Fairfax, Virginia. And there it was really, really expensive. It was like $500 a month minimum for a room. And minimum wage was $7.25. So if you worked full-time minimum wage, that meant $500 was about half of your income before you took taxes out. Like, it was effed, you know. And looking back, there are a lot of cheaper places in the US, but that's probably one of the reasons I ended up here in Nicaragua.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you've had a ride of a life, a real ride of a life. Ups and downs. Happy.
I feel more able to appreciate life than most of the people around me. And I don't want to take credit for that, because a lot of shit happened. But when shit happens to you, you have two choices. You can either let it fuck you, or you can learn how to make it your strength. And you, with anything in life, you can't change what happens to you. You know, you could lose an arm tomorrow, and you have a choice of spending your whole life wishing you hadn't lost your arm, or figuring out how to get what you want, figuring out what options you have and moving forward. Because ultimately, everything in this world, everything for us, is relative, and you can get used to almost anything. So you'd be surprised what you can lose and how good you can feel after losing what you think is everything. And then you experience that a couple times and you're like, well, I'm still here. I'm alive. I'm able to be a good person to the people I care about, even though everything was over, it's all ended. Like, I experienced that like 20 times. So it's whatever now, right?
Right. Yeah. So you used to have a YouTube channel, but now you're kind of locked out of it.
Yeah, no, I am locked out of it. In a strange twist of fate, I may be able to unearth it in 27 days. It's not entirely likely, but it is possible. But yeah, my YouTube channel changed my life, and I'm very lucky. Even I've lost access to it because I lost access to two-factor in a series of events that's irrelevant now. And despite the fact that I lost access to it and I can't post more videos, there was still enough content that was useful to people posted on it that I earn more from that than my rent and food costs in Nicaragua every month. And that didn't actually used to be true, but once COVID started, it's important to understand that in the world of online income and remote work and all this crap, basically before COVID, people talked a bunch of shit about working online, but barely anybody gave a fuck about it. Realistically, in a worldwide perspective, nobody cared. But once COVID happened, suddenly there is this huge shift. And now the demand and interest in anything to do with earning money online, working remotely, all of this is at record highs. We live in a time where there's more people interested in using computers to work and changing where they live than there has ever been in history. And it's really fascinating. And as crazy as history is right now, all these crazy things that are happening, I'm really excited because a lot of stuff right now that's happening has this vibe of change. And it's so crazy. I don't know what's going to happen, but it feels not stagnant. I feel like a lot of history felt pretty stagnant. There was the same recurring themes. And now it's like, what's going to happen? Who knows? It's been crazy.
Yeah, so your previous YouTube channel that you're currently locked out of, that was all geared towards remote working?
Sort of. It's not really accurate to view that YouTube channel as something that was geared to something. It's more like what happens when a person who feels like their life doesn't have enough meaning makes videos as a way to respond to life and emotions. Like a lot of the content I made was with the philosophy of like, I believe that once you put content out, it's how you become like immortal. We have the luxury now of expressing our lives in a way where when you die, you don't ever have your second death. You know, in the world of like second death, you die. Your first death is when you stop breathing, your heart stops beating, you're dead. But your second death is when the last person who ever had a thought or action or memory or wrote anything about you dies. And that used to happen to most humans, almost every single human. Whereas now, if you express yourself properly, you can stay relevant throughout the centuries. There's text from ancient Roman times about the effects of people living together in cities and ADHD. It's the same stuff. You can read it, and they talk about the same problems that we say is brand new to our society, when really that same effect has been observed in cities compared to rural areas for almost all of history. And people just like ignore that. Oh, so frustrating. The more you know, the more frustrated you get, and the more you don't know.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So I agree with you in some aspects. Like, people don't die anymore. Like what you're saying, your second death, that it's kind of stopped, especially with all the social media networks out there and stuff like that. So I get notifications of birthdays from people that have passed away.
I guess they're supposed to like think about them on those days or something. I try and think about my dad because he died on the 15th of December. And I always try and think about him on that day and like try and remember something I liked about him. Cause I was really lucky. I realized like, even though he died, my dad did more for me in 11 years than a lot of people's fathers have done in their whole lives. Most of the people I grew up with had absent fathers, and I could see how damaging it was to my friends to not have a role model. And it was very weird for me to be publicly treated as the person who's more understood. But in reality, I understand that I had it better. And that the people who didn't have time with their father, they are the ones who had it the roughest. Because my dad, in 11 years, he was the stereotypical mom. He raised me. He spent all his time with me. So even though it was only a decade, I got a lifetime worth. And a lot of people don't get shit. So, like, that's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of people don't get a lot of time with their fathers. Just generally not the trend.
And some people, it's for the better. Like some of those fathers that the kids hate, they're actually better off not knowing their fathers. Yeah. I've met a lot drug addicted people who are definitely in that category. Or at least that's how the kids feel.
So going forward from here, and looking into the future, where do you see yourself? Let's say 10 years time. Do you see yourself in
Nicaragua? Definitely, because for me, there's these two. I view a lot of life as these opposing forces that balance each other out, right? And I think of it that right now in the world we have this really unique circumstance where Nicaraguans and Latin Americans in general and U.S. people have incredible amounts to benefit from each other, but they just don't use it at all in any way whatsoever. And the culture is so blind to how they can learn and live better lives through spending more time with each other. And the way I look at it is I have two kind of destinies here. There's the foreigner side, which is increasing awareness of Nicaragua. However, I don't really cater to that anymore. That's not what I'm focusing on now, because my view is that it's more effective for me to focus on the other side of this, which is the Nicaraguan people, because they don't need to change their country to use the internet and change their life. They only have to change the way they think about the internet. Whereas the foreigners have to change the way they think and they have to change their country. And also, a person in a country like Nicaragua stereotypically will be thought to be less able to succeed at something like earning money online, when in an actual realistic way, it's about how much money you need to succeed. It's not about how much money you earn. It's not a flat amount. There's no flat magic amount, right? And in the US, if you earn $500 a month, if you live in California and pay $4,000 for your rent, if you live in New York and you pay $600 for a parking spot for your car, you don't give a fuck about $400, $500 a month. That's not enough to do anything to your life. Whereas here, that's life-changing money. That's so life-changing for most Nicaraguan people that even a fraction of it, even if they were able to do online work once and earn $50 from it, that is so much more money than they can get from their local economy. And what's important about this and why I want to focus on it is because normally if you bring wealth in through the foreigners, it ends up in the wealthy people, the wealthy Nicaraguans' pockets. And that's not where the wealth should go. It needs to go into the poorer people. And the only way to do that is to increase availability of education of how to use the internet to earn money online. So that's the thing I focus on. I'm not working on it a lot right now because I can't earn money from it right now because it's a long project and it would take a while for me to. And the first things I do for it are free. But I know I've met enough people here. I know how to be useful to them. I know what they usually think about and how to tackle those thought patterns that stop them. And I know I've met people. I've had the luxury of being able to speak at a university here. And there's people I could speak to get in touch with more people. So there's a lot that's in place to put me in a really good position to teach a large number of people how to get started with accepting that you can earn money online. And that's the thing that you have to really figure out. How can you get people to accept that it's true? Because there's so many different ways to do it. Absolutely so many different ways. And people always be like, oh, there's this one way you could be a VA. But like even the word VA, you could boil VA work and styles of work down into 1,000 different subcategories that are totally different than most of each other. It's very diverse. There's a lot of work available. And not only that, but as more of these developed nations increase their minimum wages, this pushes demand out of their countries for lower wage work and puts it right into the hands of people like Nicaraguans, which I'm personally happy for, because I think that Nicaraguans need to have better lives and the US is fine. They could like use like lose like 20-30% of their wealth, they'd be fine. Wouldn't matter compared to the amount that people here need so little for their lives to be improved. Like so little. People who beg here, they actually ask you for food. Like they take your food. In the US, like people ask because they want money for drugs and stuff, because heroin's a huge problem. That's not a problem at all here. It's so different. It shows people don't have enough here. It's different. Whereas in the US, the problems come from having too much and what that does when it's distributed in the way it is. Whereas here, there's different problems. They both have problems. There's not a greater one or worse one, but it's often quite frustrating how judgmental US people are of Nicaragua and other places, particularly because if you look into Latin American history in the US and Nicaragua, the US fucked Nicaragua. And it doesn't matter that like we didn't do that. We're US citizens. We're partially responsible for that. Our governments did horrible things to the Nicaraguan people. Our governments fed cocaine into the US and funded a revolution in Nicaragua and put a dictator in power. And they sold weapons in Iran to fund another war to fund that revolution here. It was absurd. We should be horrified, absolutely mortified. And I wish there were more of us who wanted to do good things for Nicaragua, because we fucked it over. We, maybe us as people, I didn't do it, but my ancestors did. I benefit from the fact that that happened. And yeah, it's not my exact responsibility, but I want to believe that as a person here who has the potential to influence people and to reach people and to spread the information to help people use this fact that it's cheap here, I think it's really, really important that we take responsibility for the fact that like I have an easier life because of my skin. That's fucked up. It's fucked up that when I'm here and I'm next to one of my Nicaraguan friends, the police treat them better. Just because I'm a foreigner and I'm next to them, I'm a witness, I'm accountable, whereas a person of their own country isn't accountable, right? And that's sad. That shouldn't happen, but that happens everywhere. And as white people, we have so much benefit and we really have just fucked up a lot of the world and we benefit from that. And I truly despise a lot of other people who don't want to admit how much we benefit from the suffering of all these minorities. We just like, oh yeah, that was our parents and them. It's not our problem. Come on. Come on. I get frustrated. Sorry.
No. It's interesting. It is very interesting. Ultimately, it's in our hands to change it. So it might have been our parents, our ancestors that have done all that in the past. But ultimately, it's in our hands to change the course of history.
Yeah, absolutely. And the time is nigh. There's so much change happening in the world. So many things have changed exponentially over the past year or two. It's insane. It's like people are snapping their fingers and suddenly everything's like, oh, well, okay, maybe we'll change something here. And I don't know. I'm excited.
I can tell. I can tell you're excited. Very excited.
Today's been a great day. It
definitely shows it. What's that you're drinking there?
Tea. I like basically live off of tea. It's one of the reasons I don't eat very much. It's because I constantly drink loads of black tea and it decreases my appetite. That's an issue, actually, basically. If we want to talk about biggest obstacles in life, for me, it's definitely like before I went through this phase of thinking that if you just have the information you need, you're going to automatically change your life with that information. But now I know through my own experience and the fact that I've handed information to people that they can use to change their lives a lot and they've never done anything with it. In most cases, I've learned that most of the time, they don't exist in their circumstance because of something in their life that's holding them back. It's because of a habit in the way that they think and that holds them back. But most people are not able to accept or admit that. And when they experience the cognitive dissonance of willing to take responsibility of the fact that we are here because of our own actions. Most people prefer to just complain and go the other route. And it can be lonely sometimes if you're trying not to do that.
Yeah, man. You seem like a very intelligent guy and a very down to earth guy that's quite intelligent, knows a lot of stuff about all this stuff that you've been talking about.
You gotta be careful. I'm pretty good at sounding confident when I don't necessarily know what I'm talking about. So I don't know what to, just because I'm saying something doesn't always mean it's true. It just means I'm thinking that way.
It just means that you're thinking that way. So what I was going to say is where have you learned all this? Is it just through life experiences, or do you read a lot of books? Do you do a lot of research?
Every resource on the internet, YouTube, Skillshare, Udemy, every one of these resources alone has more lessons than you can learn in your whole life on it. If you spent the rest of your life doing these at regular speed, you couldn't finish them. And that's if you were only limiting yourself to one platform. You, as a person, if you have internet access, you can learn anything. And you could, oh yeah, it's teaching yourself. You don't need to teach yourself. You can just watch hours and hours and hours of people talking about exactly what you want. You learn the shit eventually, even if you don't do anything about it. If you watch a YouTube video about what you want to do every day for a year, well, you're way closer to doing something about it than you were a year ago. I mean, what if you had done that 2 years ago and every single day of your life till today, you'd made a crappy YouTube video? What do you think you would know about life and putting yourself out there and insecurities and all these things that you would have had to fight through to do that? It's a really great process. I wish more people made YouTube videos.
Can you give a tip for somebody just starting out on YouTube?
Yeah, there's two strategies. Either you are putting hundreds of hours into videos, literally hundreds. So, okay, you can't do that alone. Exactly. That's why you don't do it alone. You do it with a team of people. Typically, there's a script writer, an editor. These may be the same person. And a narrator. It's like a three-person team. And then maybe they'll have like an SEO virtual assistant or something. That's like standard team for your YouTube channel, right? That's the reality. If you want to be really profitable, be one of those big YouTube channels, that's the mentality you have to take. But most people cannot start there. And I don't advise people to start there. I think that you have to take the first strategy, which is that you focus on personal development. You make YouTube videos as a mechanism for you to express and develop yourself and learn about the world and get over your insecurities. Because trust me, putting yourself out there and making yourself contactable, you get a lot of shit. yeah, it's true that, yeah, there's moments where I sound coherent and intelligent, but also a lot of the content I make, sometimes it gets like 70 to 95% dislike rates, depending on the groups of people who see it in the beginning, even when it's informative content. You can spend hours on stuff and people hate it. That happens. Sometimes people hate shit immediately. And then years later, it gets really big. And you're like, what? Like, why'd you change your mind? Like, why'd you get nice? Like, what is this? Other times you get one piece of video and everyone who comments on it is really nice and supportive. Other times a video just becomes a meme to make fun of you. it puts you out there. But the point's that if you spend every day of your life figuring out how you can publish a YouTube video and you only succeed half the time, after a year, your life will be significantly better and you will know significantly more than you do now about earning money online and using technology. So ultimately, it's quite simple. What a person who's getting started on YouTube, all they actually need to do is publish a video every day. It doesn't matter if their account grows. They just need to be looking at what they're publishing, trying to get better, and getting in the habit of content creation. Because if you are not in the habit of creating content, it's so hard to really nurture it and produce brilliant stuff. Whereas if you're already in the habit of creating great content, oftentimes you'll find that it's like, well, I was already running this podcast, So I'm going to stop that podcast and instead work with this team working on more targeted subjects, doing the same thing, but they take away all of the more tedious stuff that now I'm not interested in. They do that and I get to focus on this. Like, that's what happens. That's how people get into good situations where they're part of a team and they can put those hundreds of hours necessary to really get into a professional YouTube channel. But that's not the only option. If you want to take a more amateur approach, that's what I did with my YouTube channel. I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to post a video whenever I want. I don't care why people want me not to. I don't care that I'm posting a video game video and then teaching people how to dropship. I don't care that they think I'm only going to make dropshipping videos for the rest of my life. Just because I gave dropshipping content doesn't mean that they're entitled to dropshipping content from me till I die. Screw that. They can watch the video or not. I don't care. It's okay. And one of the things I learned that's really, again, relevant for people on YouTube is that when people get your content for free, you may think they're going to be nicer to you because they didn't pay something. Most like common thinking, so to speak, you would believe that if somebody pays for something, they're more critical of you. In actual practice, this is the opposite of what happens. When people get stuff for free, they don't give a fuck about you. They're going to be super critical in ways that it's very hard to tell what's real actual use and what's just irrelevant bullshit. So it's tricky and you have to be really careful.
It is tricky. It is very tricky. And you are right. People that pay tend to be less critical of what it is you're charging them for than if you give it away for free. And
yeah. Well, unless you're charging a lot of money. You know, it's like a bell curve. If you charge like $20,000 for a free YouTube video, people get irritated. But yeah, I mean, I'm talking about like charging $20 or something for context.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird phenomenon that I cannot get my head around, in terms of why that is, but it just is. I don't know whether if it's just because for somebody to pay for it, I believe they've got to have already liked you in the first place. They've already got to. Yeah. Enjoyed what it is that you're wanting to, what they're wanting to pay for, or something along those lines. And when you're putting out free content,
there's something called interaction theory, and basically, like, you can think of it as exponential increase. And every time somebody sees your face, every time they comment, every time they think about you, every time they see something else and it reminds them of you, every time they hear another person say something about you or your product. Every moment of this is an interaction. And your goal should be to figure out how can you make interactions with your product so convenient to the people who benefit from your solution. Product and solution should always, you should be able to switch your whole business model out and replace your product with the word solution and it still makes sense. If that's not true, you got a problem, right? So as long as you have a solution for people, and you make it convenient for them to access that solution, it usually works. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. So
it's been great chatting to you. I'm going to have to cut it off.
It's all good. It's hard to do long calls. I feel you.
Yeah. But it's been great chatting to you. It's been lovely chatting to you. Where can people, if they want to go, you know, have a conversation with you, talk to you through any means, where can people
offer a free Calendly service? So anyone, I'll talk to anyone in the world for free for 30 minutes. Doesn't really matter why. It's part of like a free trial for the consultation. So like I have a consultation service as well, where it's $20 per 30 minute session. And I help work through problems and solutions. I usually prefer like one-off sessions with specific things in mind. Not like to be like a regular weekly session, because in my experience, people are just wanting to pay for a friend when they do that. They're not really focused on like, how can we make the most out of our time together and get solutions going and increase awareness of what to do next, right? Because sometimes you don't know what the solution is, but like I can point people in the right direction so they can find their solution, right? You know, it's a balance. Mm-hmm.
So what I'll do, guys, is after this, I will drop a link down to I will drop a link down to Jack's Facebook page where you can message him and get in touch with him there for the calendar day link.
Yeah, best way is to just go to YouTube and just search for Jack Pittman. Because immediately sign up or something, I don't look at my Facebook very much because it's public, like I said. So I'm not going to – every time I get a message, I can't just drop what I'm doing in my life and be a slave to social media all the time. It's a bad way to live.
Of course.
So, you know – I that's why I have the Calendly service and the YouTube videos, because anybody can find the information. It's translated in multiple languages. It's sometimes like there's rambling and babbling, but if you look through it, there are 1,000 videos about a wide variety of topics, and you can eventually find almost anything that's relevant if you're trying to earn money online. There's a lot of conversations with other people. So if someone listening wants to talk to me, you're better off like looking at YouTube and learning about something I've already made a video about. And then if you like it, then like look at the YouTube video and go to the Calendly link in the YouTube video. Like I'm more interested when people talking to people who've like actually cared about subjects that I've made 3 or 4 videos about. It's way more obvious in the poll versus when if it's like some random person who's just using the link. And it's sometimes harder for me to give the right context and to be beneficial to people if they don't have a clear understanding of what they're trying to do in the first place, because I end up just having to just be a general life coach and give them general life advice, which is fine. I'm happy to do that. But it's unfortunate that the reality for most people is they need to spend less time around toxic people. They need to drink less alcohol. They need to exercise more and they need to eat less. And that's basically it. That's all of most of the US people's problems. But
it's most of the UK's problems as well.
Yeah. Oh man. I was just hoping it was just unique to where I'd lived.
No,
I don't want to waste too much of your time. Sorry. I know you said you got to go.
So, if you just search Jack Pittman on YouTube, I'm guessing it's a picture of your face on the channel.
Yeah, I was all about showing my face and making me contactable, and that gave me a competitive advantage that allowed me to produce content and stand out from other people producing the content who were hiding their faces and hiding their information.
Right, so go search him out. Go check out some of his videos. Like I said, he's got thousands. He's got plenty of videos for you to watch. He's got a video library, many subjects. So go check out some of his videos. If you want to get in touch with him, use the Calendly link in the descriptions. And you can get in touch with him from there. It's been a pleasure having you on. And we'll see you again on the next episode, guys.
Yeah.